honoring veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler, brought to you by this local station and its sponsors, and presented everywhere, on the air and online, by Provident Payments, one of the fastest-growing payment consultants in America. Connect today at providentpayments.com.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes. 97-year-old Navy veteran John Stokes of San Leandro, California, is our guest today. When we left off, he'd been describing some intense moments during the Battle of Okinawa when kamikaze attacks had become an ever-present threat.
After the 32 air raids in 12 days, we went back to Ulithi, the staging area, waiting for orders. Our orders came through after 2 weeks to go to San Francisco. Don't you think I was a happy guy? I mean, here, I'd only been to sea maybe 2 or 3 months, and I was going back home already. I had a sea story to tell, like I'm telling you, to my folks. So we were really thrilled, you know. We proceeded to leave Ulithi, and 10 hours out of Ulithi, I remember it well. I was just off a watch. I got off watch at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I was on the bridge. And I had my hammock slung under the 5-inch gun tub. We didn't use the cabins much because it was so hot. But anyway, I was just crawling into my hammock, and I was laying there, and all of a sudden I heard this tremendous sound, and the ship shuddered, and we were just off of a truck, which was a big Japanese base, but by that time, I don't think it was much. But you think of that, and I thought, are we being boarded? What's happening? Because all of a sudden I see this big object coming towards me, hitting the fantail, bumping off and going away. And then all of a sudden the ship listed about 15 degrees. We hear boop, 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 abandoned ship. So we go to the lifeboats and we wait to find out what's going to happen. So by this time it's daylight, probably around 8 or 9 in the morning, and we're standing there or sitting or whatever by our lifeboat assignments. And I got to thinking, boy, if I'm going to be out in that lifeboat, I'm going to get sunburned. I better go get my helmet and get some cigarettes. I smoked then. So that's what I did. I went back to where my stuff was and then came back, and we waited some more, and then finally they says, we can abandon the lifeboats. The ship was going to not sink. It ended up that we went back to Ulithi, and we were dead in the water for a time, and they sent a destroyer escort out to us and led us back to Ulithi. You got to remember, the ship was running anywhere from 15 to 18 knots. It was a lot faster than a Liberty ship. So going back, we only could go about 3 knots. So it took us about two days or 3 days to get back to Ulithi. And then they brought a CB battalion aboard that were ship repairers, and they started working on the ship. They got some big iron, like railroad tracks, that they welded to the both decks, the top deck and the middle deck and so on. And that ship that hit us, it was the Cuba Victory, hit us in hole number 2 from the hatch combing all the way down to the keel of the ship was a hole. The ship that hit us looked like they were an aircraft carrier after they hit us, because their bow was caved in and sort of sliced under. Anyway, I don't know what happened to that ship after us, but they were loaded. I think I saw a landing craft on top of their deck, because they, you know, they used to have top loads too. But so anyway, it took us 3 days, like I say, to get back, and they started the repairs, and that was for about 2 weeks. And they said, well, we were thinking you could get back to the States this way, but if you got into a real bad storm, there might be problems. So we think we ought to send you down to Manus Island in the Admiralties. They have a ship repair base in Los Negros. Those islands almost are together. So that's where we went.
This is different for everybody, and it was a different time. But can you help us understand the difference between that 17-year-old kid who went into the Navy and the 20-year-old who got out after seeing war overseas?
Well, I think I certainly must have been more mature.
Well, and we know that skinny little kid could make a basket or two. That's why they called you Swisher. And you went to college after that, played a little college basketball?
Very little, but I did. I don't say I was first string, but I was on the freshman team. So,
were you using your GI Bill benefits to go to school?
Yeah, and that's when San Francisco State was in downtown, and it was a college. It wasn't a university.
And it wasn't an injury or anything else that ended your college basketball career. It was somebody pretty special that you thought was more important than making baskets, huh?
Yeah, I met my wife through my sister. My sister Helen worked at a store called Weinstein's. So these two girls, Gail and Donna was ended up being my wife. I was, like I say, going to college, and my sister rang me up, and she's, I got a couple of girls you ought to come down here and meet. And my sister was like, she'd taken in strangers like lost puppies, you know. She was so generous, and she took a liking to these girls. I went down and bought a pair of shoes in Weinstein's to get a glance of her. And she was a rapper, so I got a good look at her. So anyway, I took a liking to her. So we met in October, got engaged in November, and got married in December. And my oldest sister told my mother, "It'll never last." She was 70 years wrong.
Well, and I know there's a lot of people out there listening who they've been married a while, and maybe they're shooting for 70. They'd like to be able to say that. So what would you say was the secret to a marriage that carried you for 70 years?
Give and take. Give and take. I mean, we had our ups and downs. I think there was one time we were on the verge of separating, but we didn't. We worked it out.
You were on that Liberty ship, and now you spend a lot of time on a Liberty ship for quite a few years here, right in San Francisco. Some people know about this. They've heard about it on this program before. A lot of people don't know that you can go visit a World War II Liberty ship that still has a steam engine that can take it around the bay, the SS Jeremiah O'Brien. What do you do out there, and why does it matter?
Well, it brings back memories, and I didn't know an awful lot about the ship at first. The way I was attracted to the ship was that I went to a armed guard convention. There was 144,000 armed guard. That was more than was in the Navy in 1938. So this gentleman organized the armed guard fraternity, or whatever you want to call it. He had a brother that was killed, and he was also in the armed guard, but he had a brother that was on a ship right off the coast of the East Coast that got sunk, and he got killed. So anyway, in his memory, I think he started this organization, and we had about 14,000 members. And so when I went to this convention, this lady, her husband was in the armed guard. He had passed, but they had both been docents, or, and she said, "I should join." And I said, "Well, okay, I'll look into it." And I ended up signing up to be a docent. And there were still some of us armed guard guys around. Unfortunately, there isn't any more, but except for myself. So I'd go over every week. And at first, there was five of us going over there in one car from the East Bay. And all the other four are gone. I'm the only one left. So, and it's been rewarding. It really has. I've enjoyed it.
I'm sure there's a lot of people listening who've never been to the SS Jeremiah O'Brien before. Why do you think they should? What are they going to experience, or how's their perspective going to be shaped if they do make that a priority?
It is a rewarding experience, and to hear the stories, and the crew is not back in 1940. The crew is 2023, and things have changed to modernize the tour of the ship, and it's far superior than when I first went aboard. This lady has put together a program that you can put on your phone as you go through the ship, and if you don't finish the visit, you've got all this information that you carry home with you, and you can go through the tour on your phone, and really see all of history of what the Jeremiah did, being in Europe, and the ship goes out all the time. I ended up being a chaplain on the ship, burying people on Memorial Day. And when they take the ship out, you know, it's a wonderful feeling. And we get good crowds, and especially during Fleet Week when the planes, and they make sure they fly over the ship. So you get a great view of that. And World War II history, I mean, it's great. And they got a lot of stuff on the ship other than just the ship. They got the museum. They got a prototype of the landing in France on D-Day. Just a great many things to see.
Yeah, so much history to explore, and a still operational World War II Liberty ship. Not easy to find those, and you can find one right in San Francisco, the SS Jeremiah O'Brien. You just had another meaningful experience in San Francisco. You came back from your honor flight to San Francisco International Airport, but I want to know about that experience going back to Washington with Honor Flight Bay Area. What were the highlights for you?
You got me in tears. What an honor. It was just a fantastic experience meeting fellow veterans and being treated like King George. There was only other World War II veteran, and he was Navy. His name was Roy, and he was a year older than I was, and he definitely was in a wheelchair. Fortunately, I'm able to get around. Him and I placing that wreath on the unknown soldier is just a fantastic experience. Had a large crowd there. The rest of the people that went with us, they were all there. They took pictures. It was just tear-jerking. And one of the highlights of it was the end. They had this big crowd greet us, you know. You can see why people want to be celebrities. Bagpipes. Policemen, medics, just civilians, just a fantastic greeting. You know, it brings tears to your eyes. Like I was talking to Roy at our reunion, it was probably the best highlight of our life. You know, it was really something.
And you mentioned one thing there that I do want to ask you about, that laying the wreath at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. There aren't too many people who get to do that. What were you thinking about when you went through that brief ceremony?
For one thing, I was thanking God that I was able to do it. Sometimes, you know, that's the problem, being a braggart. You think too much of yourself than you do of other people. And the saying is, love your brother as you love yourself. And sometimes I forget that, and it bothers me that I do. But it just was a fantastic trip.
Well, I don't want to leave out anything that's important to you, but I definitely want to say thank you. Thank you for serving our country, and thank you for telling us a story that you're the only one who could tell us that story. I am curious to know, is there something for you when you look back over 97 years on the planet and some of the things you've shared today, is there something that you would say that you're most thankful for or most proud of?
I think being married, I miss her, my family. It's so beautiful. I can hardly talk, but they all have an interest in me. And I am happy that I'm able to get up each day. I pray to the Lord at night as I go to sleep, that I pray the Lord a soul to keep. And if I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. That's the way I feel about that. I am thankful I'm alive, and I do enjoy living, and I hope I can live a lot longer. But if the Lord wants me, I'm willing to go.
John Stokes, 97 years old, of San Leandro, California. I want to thank his fellow SS Jeremiah O'Brien volunteer, Mike Savino, for getting us connected with Mr. Stokes. The next time you're in San Francisco, maybe you'll have the privilege of meeting up with them on that World War II Liberty ship. That's all the time we have on the radio today. You will find a few more memories from Mr. Stokes in the podcast version of this episode at hometownheroesradio.com. Thanks so much for listening today. I'm Paul Leffler, reminding you again that freedom is not free.
To let Paul know about a veteran in your life, visit hometownheroesradio.com and click on Suggest a Veteran. Today's program has been brought to you by Provident Payments. Give your business the edge only their personalized service can deliver at providentpayments.com.